You are listening to a podcast by Spring Hill Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Spring Hill Church is called to reach everyday people with God's grace, His unconditional love, and the life-changing power of His Word. Thanks for listening, and if you would like more information, you can visit us online at springhill.cc.
Well, are you ready for the Word of God this morning? I know you are. I want to just encourage you, if you can, get your Bible out, your paper Bible if you have one, and get a piece of paper and pen, write some things down. The notes will be available for you there on our website at springhill.cc. You can download them there. Also, as the week progresses, the audio from this service will be there. And of course, the video will be available in the morning, on Sunday morning. So I want to invite you, spread the word, share the video, do whatever you can, get the word out, because it's not about me. It's about people hearing the word of God. And so I'm so glad that you're here today. We're beginning a brand new series today, and this is an important series. Of course, every series of messages that I do is important, but I believe this one is especially important in the day and the time that we live today. And I want to talk to you about unmasking deception. Unmasking deception. So this is week number one in this new series called Unmasking Deception. Now, let's just jump right into the Word of God. I want to direct your attention to Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, the 19th and the 20th verses, Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And the Lord tells the children of Israel this. He said, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Now, verse 19 tells us and implies to us, actually very clearly, it's not an implication at all, it just flat out says it, that whether we experience life or death, blessing or cursing, is up to a choice that we make. And the Lord tells us in these verses, if you're not sure which choice to make, choose life. And so we're talking about how our lives today are a reflection of the decisions that we made yesterday. Let me say it to you this way. The overall quality of our lives today is largely based on the decisions that we made in the course of our lives yesterday. So whatever is going on in your life on an ongoing basis is a reflection of the decisions that we made yesterday, we made in our past. Now, let me just say up front, put a little disclaimer here, that life happens to all of us and the unexpected happens to all of us. But I'm talking about when you examine your life on a broad scope and you look at it, and if you see life and blessing, then you're making good decisions. If you see death and the curse in your life, then you might want to evaluate your decisions and the decision-making process that you're going through. So whatever the quality of our lives is at this current moment, it's a reflection of the decisions that we have made in our past. Now, God is endeavoring to move in our lives because He loves us, because He cares for us. He's endeavoring to move in our lives in a way to help us to make the right decisions, to choose the right things so that His life and blessing can be evident and working in our lives. So God is desiring to influence the decisions that you make. But just remember, ultimately, the decision is ours, but He wants to move in our lives in a way through His written word and by the power of the Holy Spirit to influence the decisions that we make so that the quality of our lives is a clear manifestation of His life, His blessing, His favor, and all that Jesus bought and paid for us to experience. Now, on the flip side of that, The enemy of your soul, our adversary, the devil, is seeking to move in your life, to influence your decision-making processes so that he can get you to make decisions that are opposite of what God wants for your life, but to make decisions that will thwart the plan of God from coming to pass in our lives. Now, here's the good news. We're not ignorant of these things that he's trying to do in our lives. Matter of fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 in the Amplified Bible says this, that to keep Satan from getting the advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his wiles and intentions. The Passion Translation of that verse says, so that we would not be exploited by the adversary, Satan, for we know his clever schemes. So schemes and wiles and things like that of that nature are the way that Satan operates in our lives and attempts to influence our decision-making process to get us to choose the wrong things. Now, I want to say something to you, and I want you to get this statement, all right? Deception is not just one of the ways that the enemy can bring the effects of the curse into your life. It is the only way. Let me say that to you again. Deception is not just one of the ways that the enemy can bring the effects of the curse into your life. It is the only way. Now, here is the point of this whole series, and if you don't get anything else out of this message today, I want you to get this one phrase right here, and that is this: if Satan cannot deceive you, he cannot defeat you. If Satan cannot deceive you, he cannot defeat you. And I think one of the reasons that a large part of the body of Christ might not fully understand that statement is because we don't fully understand what Jesus accomplished for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. You know, the Bible says that he destroyed the powers of darkness. And not that he eradicated them, but he stripped their power from them, stripped their ability from them. And so on this side of the cross and on this side of the resurrection, the enemy does not have the power and authority that he once had in order to inflict hurt and harm on humanity. Now, the only way that he can bring those things into our lives is for us to choose and to make ourselves available to those things. Now, God will not impose his will on you. In other words, he will not override your free will, your free moral agency, your ability and right to choose to make you experience the quality of life that he desires to bring to pass. And on the flip side of that, nor will he allow the devil to influence, override, or overpower your right to make a decision in order to bring his will to pass in your life. So here's the bottom line. Satan cannot afflict you with the destructive effects of the curse unless you allow it by choosing with your own free will something that opens his efforts to you. In other words, you open the door for the enemy to be able to work in your life. Now, I want to show you a scripture, John chapter 8 and verse 44 in the New King James. Jesus was having a discussion with the religious leaders in his day, and he told them this, and Jesus shot straight. Now, he said, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." What is Jesus telling us? There is no truth in Satan and the powers of darkness. None whatsoever. Matter of fact, Jesus called him the father of lies. The father of lies. We could say it this way, that he is the father of deception. Now, think about this with me for just a moment. Now, Jesus in John 10:10 said that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. But notice in this verse, in John 8:44, Jesus did not refer to Satan as the father of destruction. He referred to him and called him the father of lies. But somebody says, well, I thought you just said, quoting Jesus, that he brings destruction into our lives. Yes, he endeavors to do that. However, the door, the open door that he uses to bring destruction into our lives, stealing, killing, and destroying, is through the doorway of lies and deception. See, if Satan had the power to destroy you, I mean, to eradicate you, to wipe you off the planet, he would have done it already. But here's the good news. He doesn't have that kind of power. Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 14 and 15 says this, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, in flesh and blood, that through death, his own death, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So what is this verse saying? This verse is saying that when Jesus took upon himself flesh and blood, and then he died the death that he died on the cross for you and for me, he did that to destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Now that word destroy there doesn't mean wipe out in the sense of he doesn't exist anymore. No, it means that he stripped him of his power and his ability to be able to destroy you. Okay, so again, if Satan had the power and the ability to be able to destroy you, he would have done it already. But thank God, because of what Jesus did, he does not have that power anymore. Now, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11 in the famous portion of scripture in Ephesians 6 where Paul describes and talks about the armor of God and all the pieces of the armor that we wear. In verse 11, Paul said this, and I want you to pay particular attention. Remember, pay attention to the details. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Let me read that again. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now that word wiles there means trickery or deception, or as we read earlier, schemes. Isn't that interesting? That the armor of God was given to us not so that we could stand against sickness or poverty or some other crisis. Now we employ it in those situations, but what we're standing against is not temptation, sickness, poverty, death, sickness, disease. No, we're standing against the trickery or the wiles of the devil. So the armor of God is not given to us to protect us from negative circumstances. No, it's designed to enable you to stand against the root cause of all of Satan's attacks, which is deception. Now, I want to say that to you again. The armor of God is not given to us to protect us from negative circumstances. It's designed to enable you to stand against the root cause of all of Satan's attacks, which is deception. So what Paul is telling us here is that if we can stop the deception in our lives, then we will eliminate the largest portion of the trials, temptations, adversity that we experience in our lives from being able to have an effect on us. Now, again, life happens to all of us. We're all tempted. We all face these things. However, if you will use the armor of God to fight off and to defend yourself against the deception and trickery of the devil, it will keep you from falling into the trap of those things. Now, I want to direct your attention to Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. And the Apostle John is writing here, and he's telling us some events that are going to happen at the end of the tribulation period, leading into the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, in which we as believers will rule and reign with him during that time. And the Apostle wrote, and he said this, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up." Thank God he's going to be shut up. "And set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while." Now, isn't it interesting? The word does not say that he'll no longer cause famines, sickness, hatred, racism, anger, wars, murders, all of those types of things. No, it says rather that he will be bound up so that he can deceive the nations no more. And then what that tells us is the root cause of wars, killings, murder, hatred, racism, anger, famine, sickness, whatever you want to put in that container, that the root cause of all those things will cease, and that is because he will be able to deceive no more. All right, so all that being said, let's define what is a deception. What is it when we are deceived? So here we go. Deception means to convince someone that something is true and valid when it is actually untrue and invalid. Let me say that again. Deception is to convince someone that something is true and valid when it is actually untrue and invalid. Now, I want to say something to you. Going back to the scripture we read from Deuteronomy chapter 30, where God said, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Choose life or death, blessing or cursing." Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment. No one would intentionally choose death and the curse. No one in their right mind is going to make a decision to choose those things. But yet we see people make decisions that opens the door for those things to come into their lives all the time. Well, the only way that the devil can defeat someone is by getting he or she to believe that something is untrue and invalid as truth. In other words, the only way that someone will just rightfully choose death and destruction and the curse will be if they are deceived into making the wrong choice. In other words, Satan can't bring broad, sweeping evil into your life unless you and I, in effect, choose it, unless we make that choice. And you won't make that choice unless he can deceive you into believing a lie and therefore influence your decision. I mean, think about it. Use your noggin for a moment. Nobody in their conscious right mind would make a decision like that unless they believed a lie and they believed something that was untrue and invalid as the truth. So if he can get you to believe this lie, then he's won the fight. Now, I want to show you something from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. It says this, no temptation. So no temptation means no temptation. And that word temptation there is parosmos. It means by putting to proof by the experience of adversity. So no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. And I'm going to add this because it's implied, able to overcome. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to overcome, but will, with the temptation, will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it or endure it. So let me say that verse again. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Now, what that tells me is the devil has no new tricks up his sleeves. He has no new schemes. He has no new wiles, if you will, to pull out on you that he has not pulled out on humanity before. There is nothing new in his playbook. Therefore, everything we need to know about how to stand against his schemes and his tricks and his deceptions is found right here in the Word of God. Now, I want to spend a few moments this morning. I want to talk to you about six areas that the devil is going to attempt to try and deceive you in. Six lies that he's going to try and sell you. Now, some of these he would try and sell to an unbeliever, and some of these to an unbeliever and a believer. But listen to these nonetheless and see if any of these might apply to you. Here's the first lie that he is going to try and sell you and that he sells humanity on all the time. And that is this, he is not real. That he doesn't really exist. And you know, the devil tries to sell humanity on the fact that he really doesn't exist. So all the problems in the world, you know, it's interesting to me that he'll sell the world that he doesn't exist, but he doesn't mind the world believing that God exists so that the blame for everything bad that's happening in the world gets shifted over on God. Because if the truth ever came out that he is bent on the destruction of humanity, and meaning Satan is bent on the destruction of humanity, then the deception there would be blown. The cover would be blown on that. So what he endeavors to do, now he, you know, okay, so let's say you want to believe in him. Well, then what he'll do is he'll sell you this cartoon-like character that has a pitchfork and horns and a long tail and dresses in red and only comes out on Halloween, that's the extent of who he is. So if you want to believe the devil, well, that's okay. But this is what he looks like. He looks like a cartoon character. And I'm telling you, that's the furthest thing from the truth. Now, here's the second lie that the devil tries to sell humanity, and that is this. You are helpless against him. Now let's point this in the direction of a believer for just a moment. You know, if you're a follower and a believer in Jesus Christ and you've been born again, you're anything but helpless against him. Matter of fact, the Bible says that Jesus said, all authority, both in heaven and in earth, and the keys of death, hell, and the grave have been given to him, and he gave you and me as his children and as his church his name to be able to use against the powers of darkness. So let me tell you something. You have all of heaven backing you. You have the name of Jesus backing you. And let me tell you something. When the devil and his crowd hear that name, they shudder in fear because they know what that name represents. It represents their defeat. It represents Jesus overcoming them. It represents them being stripped of their authority and their power. And it ultimately represents to them their demise for eternity. because Jesus is going to make sure that they are bound up for an eternity, and that's coming one day. Now, here's the third lie that the devil sells humanity, and that is this, that the Bible is literally not the truth. So, you know, there's two directions that he goes with this lie. The first one is this, that the Bible, yeah, it's a book, but it's no more valid or truthful or powerful than going down to Walmart and picking up a novel. You know, there's no difference. And it's just a book. It's just a book of maybe some historical events and some fantasy events that took place. So if it, he tries to sell that to humanity, then if he can't get you to buy that one, then what he does is he sells you that, yeah, it's a holy book, but it's filled with contradictions and there's no way that you can understand it. And if he can sell you that, then you won't believe the word of God either. And so what he tries to keep people from seeing is that the word of God is the ultimate truth. Jesus said this in John chapter 1, verse 14. It says that Jesus was the word of God made flesh and dwelt among us. And then Jesus said of himself in John the 14th chapter, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if he said that about himself, then the same thing applies to the word of God. This is the way, this is the truth, and this is the life. So if the devil can keep you from grabbing a hold of that simple revelation, then he can keep you from believing anything else in the book. But once you realize, man, this word is true. God's word is true. And so what that does is that's the threshold that you step across to enter into the fullness of everything that the word of God declares is yours and belongs to you. Now, here's the fourth lie that he tries to get humanity to buy into, and that is this. It really doesn't matter what you believe. You know, it's okay if this group over here believes this and this group over here believes this and what you believe really isn't all that important, that you can believe whatever you want to believe. And so he tries to sell humanity that it's okay for you to believe anything that you want to believe. And let me tell you something, that is a huge lie. Now, people think that they have a right to believe whatever they want to believe, and that is true. You do have the right to choose what you believe. But what you don't have a right to do is expect that God will show up and the life and the presence and the power of God will be present in whatever you believe. No, if you want those things in your life, you're going to have to believe God and His Word. So your belief system has to be narrowed down to what the Bible says and believe that firmly. So it does matter what you believe. Here's number five, and this goes hand in hand with number four, and that is this. It really doesn't matter how you think or what you think. You know, he tries to get people to believe that I can think anything that I want to. I can allow my mind to go anywhere that it wants to. I can think whatever thoughts I want to think. And you know what? You have the right to think that, to believe that if you want to. But let me tell you something. If you want God involved in your life, not only, like we said, you're going to have to believe what God says you're going to have to believe, you're going to have to think the way God wants you to think. You're going to have to renew your mind to the Word of God and begin to think God thoughts and think God's ways in your life. You can't just think whatever you want to think and expect that God is going to be able to move in your life. That is a lie that the devil tells people. Here's number six. And this all goes hand in hand. What you believe, what you think, and then number six, it really doesn't matter what you say. Boy, this is a big one, even for believers. you know, that you can believe, you can think, and that you can say whatever you want to say, that you can let whatever words come out of your mouth want to come out, that that's just your decision and that's your prerogative. And yes, it is. You can believe and think that way and speak the way that you want to speak. But let me tell you something. If you want God's life and blessing and power and favor and everything that He is operative in your life, then you're going to have to believe His way, you're going to have to think His way, and you're going to have to speak His words. You know, I'm reminded of Proverbs chapter 18, verses 18 and 19, where it says that a man's belly, his innermost being, his life shall be filled with the fruit of his lips. And he goes on to say that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so, yes, it does matter what you say, because the words that you speak are either releasing life into your life or death into your life. And so those lies, it doesn't matter what you believe, it doesn't matter what you think, and it doesn't matter what you say. Man, those three are even manifested in people's lives that are Christians, that love Jesus, that don't realize, no, I have to believe what God's word says. I have to think the way that God thinks, and I have to speak what God says. And so I want you to know that the only strategy that the devil has to do this in our lives is to deceive us in some way to believe something other than the truth of God's word and make choices for death based on a wrong belief system. And so if he can keep you in that deception, then he can keep you in whatever bondage he wants to put you in. And sad to say, there are a lot of believers that are in bondage because they have bought into the deceptions that the enemy has introduced into their lives. They believe them wholeheartedly and they refuse to let them go. No, we're going to talk about in this series how you can be free from those bondages that deception has brought into your life. Now, I want to show you a verse as we wrap up today. And it's a verse you're familiar with. It's nothing new, but it's beginning the pathway, the tunnel, the light at the end of the tunnel, so you can begin to see how freedom comes, how deliverance from bondage comes, and how freedom from deception comes. And it's found in one verse. And of course, we're going to look at other verses in future sermons. But listen to this. John chapter 8, verse 32. Jesus said this, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now that word "know" there means, it's in the Greek language, and it means have an intimate relationship with. And you know, there's a higher education building here in Charlotte. If you were to ride down there right now, it's on our community college. And you know, I kind of understand where people are coming from when they say this, but etched in the stone on the top of that building, it says this, "Knowledge is power." Well, that's partially true, but really the true statement is this, truth is power and truth acted on is power. That's where freedom is going to come from. That's where deliverance is going to come from. And that's what's going to bring freedom for you and for me to be able to step out of areas of deception in our lives. Now, listen, I want to say this to you. Because we live in a fallen, broken world, all of us are susceptible to some level of deception. And so that's why we have to cling to the Word of God and immerse ourselves in the truth of God's Word so that we can eliminate any of those areas of deception and be like Jesus said, "And when we know the truth will make us free. Hallelujah. So the good news in all of this is you don't have to live the rest of your life deceived. You don't have to live the rest of your life in bondage. No, the truth of God's word can and will set you free if you'll just grab a hold of it and let it drive out deception that the enemy has brought into your life. Do you receive this today? I know you do. Let me pray for you as we close this message. Father, thank you for the word that we've heard today. Thank you, Lord, for pulling back the veil on deception, pulling it back so that we can see the truth and that we can be free from deception once and for all. Father, I pray for my friends and family that are watching this video. Lord, I thank you for freedom that's found in the truth of your word. And I believe, Father, as we dive deeper into the light of your word, that revelation and insight and light will come, that will drive out the darkness of deception that has laid hold of some areas of our lives and has just refused to leave. And so, Father, I thank you for that. And I praise you for the freedom that's on the other side of that. And Lord, I thank you that we will walk in the freedom and liberty that you have provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And deception will, let me say it this way, Lord, the days of deception in our lives are over in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it. I praise you for it. And we love you, Lord, with all of our hearts in Jesus' name. Now, I want to invite you today, if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, I want to invite you to do that today. Would you make a decision to just simply open your heart to receive the free gift of grace and mercy and forgiveness that Jesus bought and paid for you to have? You know, Jesus did the hard part. He died on the cross. He shed his blood for you and for me, and he paid the price for us to be free and forgiven and clean and holy in the sight of a holy God. And we can live free from a past life of bondage and sin, and we can live free now, and then we can look forward to an eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray a simple prayer with me? I want to invite you to do that today. Just say this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. And I believe with all my heart that he was raised from the dead. Now, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Wash me in your blood. Make me clean and holy. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my past and give me a brand new beginning. I thank you for it. I praise you for it. Now fill me to the full and overflowing with the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for doing that. Thank you that I am a child of God. Thank you that I am born again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you prayed that prayer with me, man, we're so proud of you and so excited for you. Here's why: you made the best decision that you could possibly make, and that is to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we celebrate you. We love you. We're proud of you. I want to ask you to do me a favor. I want to pray for you. I want to believe God with you on this new walk in Christ that you have. And I'm going to ask you to do something for me. And I just want you to send me a brief email at mystory@springhill.cc to let me know that you prayed that prayer today, to tell me I prayed with Pastor today to give my heart to Christ. And I want to pray for you. I want to encourage you and let you know that we're supporting you. We're proud of you. Heaven is rejoicing because of the decision that you made. And man, we love you so much. And we want you to get on the road to victory that Jesus bought and paid for and is available to you as a born again child of God. But we love you so much and are so proud of you. God bless you in the decision that you made.
Thanks once again for tuning in to the Spring Hill Church podcast. We hope that you have been blessed by today's message. If you would like more information about the church, please feel free to visit us at springhill.cc.